We continue our trek through the Psalms, and tonight we're in Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is a great psalm. I want to call it a chiropractic adjustment psalm. Now, I don't know that any Hebrew scholars would have that terminology, but we are living in insane times. I have mentioned the Babylon Bee before. It is a Christian satire website, and it's brilliantly written. Sometimes I find myself reading an article on the news website, and I have to stop for a minute because it's so crazy, and what I'm reading is so insane, I stop for a second and think to myself, wait a minute, am I reading the Babylon Bee? Because I'm a lot of times reading it on my phone, and you know, you scroll down, and I don't have the header, I don't know where I am, and I got to scroll up and go, no, this isn't satire, this is real. These are days of increasing insanity. The further you get away from God, the more irrational you become. The further you get away from the Bible, the more irrational you become. Romans 1, beginning with verse 18, talks about the decline. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. But they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. When you deny the truth about God that you know to be true in your heart and that you observe through the creation, and you know that God is there because Romans 1 says God has written the truth of himself on our hearts, but we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The idea is there is you sit on a box and hold it down, but you can't hold it down. But the longer you try to hold it down, you go through phases where it says, and God gave them over, and God gave them over, and God gave them over. The further you get away from God, the further you get away from his word, the more irrational your thinking will become, and the more decadent your behavior will become. That's true for individuals, it's true for nations. This is what we're seeing all around us. And it says in Romans 1 that at a certain point, he gave them over to a reprobate mind, or he gave them over to a depraved mind. That is an unthinking, non-rational mind, which is what we see increasingly all around us. This is how you take nations down. This is how you destroy people's lives. And there's enough of it coming our way that after a while, you can get a little bit overwhelmed. It's sort of like when your back goes out a little bit, and so you go to the chiropractor, and he sits you down, and he's talking to you and asking what's going on. And you know, you're just talking back and forth, and he's doing little things, and he walks behind you, and all of a sudden, as you're talking to him just nicely, he goes, you go, ah! And then you go, oh, gosh, that feels better. That's Psalm 8 to me. It's a, because what it does is it recalibrates you. It resets you and your view of the world. Before we read the psalm, let me give you the three-point outline. Number one, men discover their purpose in life by praising God. That's verse 1, and it's verse 9. Secondly, compared to God's majesty, man is insignificant. That's verses 3 and 4. Now, if you thought you could come here tonight and have your self-esteem built up, we'll get it built up, but we'll get it built up correctly. Second point, compared to God's majesty, man is insignificant. Thirdly, because of God's creation purpose, man is significant. That would be verses 5 through 8. Let's read this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, or O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained or appointed or fixed, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There you go. We live in an insane world, but Psalm 8 has two bookmarks that give a man sanity. Note that verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So that's our first bookend. Look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Those are the two bookends. They are bookends of praise. We used to sing a song when I was a kid growing up in church. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's just a chorus, but it's got great theology. You look at what's going on in the nation. You look at what's going on in the courts. You look at what's going on politically. You look at what's going on in education. You can get overwhelmed. You can get depressed. You can get anxious. You can get worried. Psalm 94, verse 19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me. It's interesting, we never just have one anxious thought. Anxious thoughts breed like rabbits. You have one anxious thought, oh my gosh, what if this happens? Oh, and then if that happens, what if that happens? And then, oh my gosh, how do you work your way out of that? And it could be life-threatening. I mean, your purpose and your time on the earth could be over. How do you work your way out of that? Men discern their purpose by praising God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. C.S. Lewis, and this is brilliant. Lewis said, God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about him. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it isn't there. There is no such thing. That is the key to history. Terrific energy is expended. Civilizations are built up, excellent institutions devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and cruel people to the top, and it all slides back into misery and ruin. In fact, the machine conks. It stops. It seems to start up all right and runs a few yards, and then it breaks down. Why? They are trying to run it on the wrong juice. That is what Satan has done to us humans. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In him we live and move and have our existence. Paul said in Acts 17, he is our fuel, but we're always turning to other things, and we've got everything out of whack. But when all else fails, read the directions. You've got the first bookmark, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then the next line says, you have set your glory above the heavens. This is often used in scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah 66. This is referring to the greatness of God. This is referring to the majesty of God. It was J.I. Packer who said, God is incomprehensible, but he is knowable. He's incomprehensible, but he is knowable. He can be known. His majesty, his greatness, his power, his character, his holiness, his omniscience, he knows all things, his omnipresence, he is everywhere. In Isaiah 66, verse 1, thus says the Lord. Look at the metaphor here, look at the picture. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now, heavens, it's really hard to see the stars around here because there's so much light at night. I remember well that night we were on our way to go up in the mountains. We're going up kind of a back way. And at some point we got out just to stretch. And we were in the middle of nowhere. We were probably, 8,500 feet, 9,000. I remember getting out of that car and looking up, and I mean, it was astonishing. And everyone got out, and we were just going, wow, wow. You could hardly speak. It was so overwhelming. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? Now watch this. For my hand made all these things. What things? Everything. Everything. He made it all. He spoke it into existence. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. This is the greatness of God. This is the majesty of God. You just can't take all this in. He is a God who is incomprehensible, yet he is knowable. And look at this, he's interested in us. You just have this description of the greatness of God. And then the next line says, but to this one I will look. To this man I will look. To this woman I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. What that tells me is when I get overwhelmed by all the events in the world and or by the things that are pressing in my life, not just the world, but what's local, what's in my sphere, what's in my, just in my little life, the pressures, the setbacks, getting blindsided. And sometimes the weight is so great, you wake up in the middle of the night. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, what do? Start talking to him, just start praising him, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. You remind yourself of who he is. And see, here's the thing. He loves men who wake up in the middle of the night and call on his name. He loves them. And he only loves them, he's working for them. And he's going to make a way for them. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro about the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully his, that he may strongly support them. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Lord, I'm not sure what to do. I need your help. And Lord, I'm holding on to this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm holding on to this, Lord. I tremble at this word because I know it's true. I need your peace tonight. I cannot go back to sleep. I need your help. He loves guys like that. He does. He's for you. Is it Psalm 56, 9? This I know, that God is for me. We think he's mad at us. He's against us. All that's been covered in Christ, unless you're in known sin, which you refuse to deal with before him. Then you're under discipline. Well, how do I get out from under that? Repent, come clean, take your licks, and you'll be restored. But don't horse around with sin if you're in trouble. Don't do that. That doesn't make any sense. That's irrational. Get all in. Get under the authority. Get under the word. Get teachable. Do what he tells you to do. Whatever the next right step is, take it. Now see, this is a God. You're in your bed and you can't sleep. And then here's God whose throne is in the heavens, whose glory is above the heavens. It's above it. I don't care where the Hubble telescope goes or what it sees. I don't care how far out it goes, how many light years, he's there. This is the immensity of God. This is the majesty of God. We're overwhelmed by stuff that's immediately before us. It's a big deal because it's our life. When you're in that situation and you're weak and you're fatigued and you're out of gas, you can't forget who your God is. You see, his glory is above the heavens. You're there in that little bed trying to figure life out. He spoke all of this into existence. So Psalm 139, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You know everything about me. You know my active life. You know my passive life. You know me when I'm at work. You know me when I'm asleep. When I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. Half the time, I don't even understand myself. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I make that decision? He gets it. He knows why. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You're intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. Every word you'll ever speak for the rest of your life, he knows what you'll say, when you say it, and with the intonation and with the attitude behind it. Already. And he's always known that. For everybody in the world. You've enclosed me behind and before. There's your past life. That's behind. You've enclosed me. So I got my past life. I mean, here I am today. I'm in trouble. You've enclosed me behind and before. That's my future. I'm not even sure I'm going to have a future. But you see, you've enclosed me behind and before. I can look back and see the chapters you've taken me through, but he's already written chapters for you that you know nothing about. All you know is that you're here right now and you're going down. But think about who your God is. He knows your whole life. He knows the whole world. He knows where the whole world is going because he has a plan for the ages and for the nations and for you and for your kids and your grandkids. This is who he is. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. If I take the wings of the dawn, all right, imagine this. If you could strap a saddle and a bridle onto the first rays of sunlight in the morning, if you could lasso one of those beams of light, saddle up and ride that sucker all day long. Light travels how fast? 186,000 miles per second. So you ride it for an hour, you're making tracks. You ride it for 8 hours, you're making tracks. You ride it all day long into the solar system, beyond the solar, you know. And you stop and get off, wherever you are, he's there. There is nowhere he isn't. 11, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, this is the darkest it's ever been in my entire life. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee because you're God. And your glory is above the earth. Now that right there, you know what that is? That's a ka-chunk that straightens you out. Does it not? You ever been sick with worry? Oh, that's fun. But you see, his glory is above the heavens. And this is the one to whom I look. He's looking for guys that are seeking him and calling on his name when the whole world's insane. See, men discover their purpose when they praise God. You praise him. You just thank him. You've had a setback. You don't know how this is going to work out. But Lord, I praise your name because I've been here before. How many times have I seen you come through for me? How many times have I seen no possible way out and you made a way out? I thank you for those times. Just start naming them, praising him. Because you know what? You may be in the dark right now about your purpose and about what's next in the chapter of life, and you may be in a big time transition. You may be in the dark. Psalm 142:3, when my anxious thoughts overwhelm me. You knew my path. You knew my path. When you're overwhelmed by anxiety, he knows the next step. He knows exactly what he's doing. So you can praise him. And as you praise him, he's going to make known his purpose. When you praise him, it calms you down. When you praise him, it gives you that peace which passes all understanding. In verse 2, you have infants praising God and infidels opposing God. This is quite a contrast. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. That's an interesting thing to say because infants and nursing babes don't have strength. They are utterly dependent. In fact, if you leave them alone, they'll die. There was a bill yesterday in the Senate saying that if a child survives an abortion and he's there and still alive, they would make it a federal law that the physician has got to do everything they can do to save that baby's life. And 41 senators voted it down. That's insane. That's barbaric. That's evil. That's wicked. That's demonic. Those little babies are defenseless. Infants praise God, but infidels oppose him. My nephew, Jason, he and his wife, Alyssa, they now have 4 kids under the age of 5 because they had 2 little boys, and then a couple of months ago, 2 little twin girls were born prematurely. So they're having fun. They don't know where they live. They don't know what state they're in because they're exhausted. And they sent a video about 10 days ago, these 2 little tiny girls. And this video was these 2 little baby girls wrapped up, you know, you wrap them up, papooses, and they're right next to each other on the bed. And the video just starts, and they're facing each other, and they're talking to each other. I'm telling you, they're talking. And they're just looking at each other. I mean, it just melted your heart. These little, tiny, defenseless, utterly dependent babies. And we had people in power who have no problem with slaughtering those little girls. In Matthew 21, verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and watch this, and the children. So the term used back in Psalm 8, infant, nursing babes, can also be children. Okay? It's kind of a broad term. And the children were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. They became indignant. Who became indignant? The chief priests and the scribes. They became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, Psalm 8. That's what he said to them. Yes, he says, have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? Isn't that great? Jesus was always tweaking these guys. These were the leaders. These were the guys with all the power. And they were always checking Jesus out because Jesus had this habit of healing people on the Sabbath. And that drove them nuts. Because they'd come up with this thing, oh, you can't heal on the Sabbath. That's not in the scriptures. They just came up with it. It's your bureaucracy. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, look at the guy and he says, stretch forth your hand. Should you not praise God? Oh, yeah. They were livid. They were livid. Why? Because they're the enemies of God. Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Because he's worthy of praise. He's Almighty God. Let's go to number 2. Compared to God's majesty, man is insignificant. When you compare yourself to God, of course you're insignificant. Back to Psalm 8, verse 3. David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have fixed, which you have ordained. Now, here you go. What is man that you take thought of him? What is man that you remember him, that you remember me, that you're aware of me? What did Isaiah say? This is the one to whom I look. See, he remembers. The one who humbles himself, who's contrite in spirit, who trembles at his word. God knows all about you. And see, this blows him away. It blows me away. It blows you away. And the Son of Man, that you care for him. He cares for us. He's our Father. Your Father knows that you need these things. And why are you anxious about food and clothing and what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? Your Father knows that you need all these things. You know, that pretty much says it. Your dad knows. He knows, and he's got the power, and he's got the ability. You know what that is? That's a ka-chink. It just calibrates me. James Johnson, in his commentary, says, our galaxy looks like a cloud, but this glow is actually the light of 200 to 400 billion stars, turning like a giant pinwheel some 100 light years across. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble showed that our galaxy is one of many galaxies in the universe. The best estimate is that there are roughly 170 billion galaxies gathered in clusters and strung like filaments across space. Now the Hubble Space Telescope gives us a front row seat to see the wonders of the nebula and the Magellanic Clouds, or the collision of a comet with Jupiter, All this is the work of God's fingers. The vast distances and the nuclear explosions of the stars are not rough, sweaty work like heavy construction or road building. For God, creating the galaxies, watch this, is detailed, delicate work for him, like a woman weaving lace. Boy, that's a great picture. No wonder David asked, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" But see, he is mindful of us and he cares for us. William Beebe, the naturalist, used to tell the story about Teddy Roosevelt at Sagamore Hill, his family home. After talking for the evening, the two would go out on the lawn and search the skies for a certain spot of starlight light near the left-hand corner of the great square of Pegasus. Then Roosevelt would recite, "That is the spiral galaxy in Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies. It consists of 100 billion suns, each larger than our sun." And then Roosevelt would grin and say, "Now I think we are small enough. Let's go to bed." That is great. I read that in one of his biographies. "Well, yeah, I'm president. Yeah, I've got this power. Okay, now I'm small enough. Let's go get some sleep." Third, because of God's creation, man is significant. But wait a minute, I thought he was insignificant. Compared to God, we are. But you see, we're significant because of the mandate God gave to men. God's given you a mandate, he's given me a mandate. Genesis 1, God is laying out his creation order. And you read 1:26. "Then God said, 'Let us,'" who's us? Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them," watch this, "and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. "And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it.'" You know what God says? "My glory is above the heavens, and I have given a mandate to man to be my representative. He's made in my image on the earth, and he has dominion over it." The earth doesn't have dominion over us. So I need to wrap this up. We are co-regents. As God rules all things, he has given mankind dominion over the earth. We're to steward the earth and the resources as we are to steward everything that God gives us. But because of sin, sometimes horrible things happen because of the hearts of men. Man was given a responsibility. Can it be abused? Yes. Wiersbe says this: "The Lord crowned Adam and Eve and gave them dominion over the other creatures. We are co-regents of creation with the Lord. The angels are servants, but we are kings, and one day all who have trusted Christ will be like him." To summarize, God the Father created us to be kings, but the disobedience of our first parents robbed us of our crowns. God the Son came to earth and redeemed us to be kings. That's Revelation 1, verses 5 through 6. And today the Holy Spirit of God can empower us to reign in life by one, namely Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5, 17. When you crown Jesus Lord of all, you are a sovereign and not a slave. You are a victor and not a victim. And you can say from your heart, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And you'll know why you're alive, and you'll know why you were born. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage that calibrates us. We're living in a time when the world is out of sync. These are the words that lead to life. So help us in our world, in our sphere, in our family, to walk with you, to humble ourselves, to be contrite in spirit, and to tremble at your word. And as we ask for wisdom, as we steward what's before us and make the decisions that are waiting, lead us in the everlasting way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.